The shepherds were surprised and even caught off guard by this announcement by the angels. They couldn't have planned it. They would not have anticipated. This good news of great joy breaks forth. It's kind of like all heaven breaks out as the heavenly army is arrayed and they sing glory to God in the highest heaven, and on earth, peace, goodwill to men, or all people would be the better way to say it. There are things in life that come up that might startle us and help us to see things we've always seen in a whole new light. Sometimes they happen, and it's extraordinary, and there's no denying it. And yet here we are 2,000 years later, and you've got me up here speaking and trying to convey what took place when the angels announced this good news of great joy. I'm a far call from an angel from before the throne of God and the heavenly host. But there are many other voices in our world and in our lives that also try to tell us where to find this good news of great joy. I love that in the little drama here, talking about stars over Best Buy and stuff like that. Because when I was a kid, I was brought up in a very Christian home, and we were. It was always very clear about the real meaning of Christmas. But I got to tell you, I put a lot of hope in the good book, also known as the Sears Christmas Catalog. It was within those pages that I sought to find good news of great joy. And I could find a whole bunch of things that I thought would give me great joy. You know, Rector sets and BB guns. They even had chemistry sets back in those days in the Sears catalog. Now, if you're a little younger, you've never seen one of these things. But they called it the wish book, because there were a million things you wish you had. Sure, it had pajamas, but the worn pages of the wish book were the toys and the games. But we all know that joy isn't found in the Sears catalog, or particularly on the internet. UPS and Amazon don't deliver it. Because there's something about joy that is very different. Last week we took a look at peace and how the peace of God can create and reveal a reality that allows us peace even in the midst of the storms of life. That though the world may shake, though the mountains may tremble, the psalmist speaks of, we could still know peace. That even though we walk through the dark valley of the shadow of death, that even though we are facing our enemies, God is with us and He prepares a table before us. Peace is our response to what is happening around us and what we can experience when we know that we are within God's hands and protection. Something that struck me, though, as I was preparing for this morning, was joy has an interesting relationship with peace. That as peace is something we can experience in response and in relation to what's going on around us, ultimately, joy is something about what happens within us. So peace in relationship to what's around us. But joy is really kind of peace within us. And that joy comes from within. The joyous news that the angels announced was an event that was beyond human ability, let alone human expectations. And it is a news that speaks of good news, of great joy. Now, joy often comes in very unexpected places. I can tell you and will tell you that I've experienced incredible joy up to my, well, actually, probably fully immersed washing pots and pans at a camp. Holding the hand of someone I love as they are sick and in the hospital. Being told, bless you, thank you, as we hand a plate of food to the people down on Terry Street. Those things and places are a far cry from the things that we think will give us joy. We live in Amusement Park Central, the place where people go to experience joy. And there are wonderful things that happen. The things, you know, the fun, the laughter, family, adventure. Those are great. But even they are only a precursor in the tinsel of the joy that God intends for us. And so these shepherds were faced with a curious quandary. You know, the heavens open up and they're proclaimed good news, a great joy, which shall be for all people. For unto you a Savior is born. And you'll find him wrapped in swaddling clothes. You will find him wearing Pampers at the Motel 6. Joy is like that. That it is often found in unexpected ways. And that the announcement of this good news of great joy is in a form that is different than human beings would expect, should have been expected. Because God often does things in ways different than we would expect, different than ways we would seek, in ways that we could never imagine. A child wrapped in swaddling clothes. An announcement made to very ordinary people. Doing a job that Mike Rove from Dirty Jobs would understand. It wasn't made to the social, the political, or the religious elite. It was made to very ordinary people about a birth that appeared in a very ordinary way. But something important happened here. The shepherds had to do something. They had to leave what they were doing to go to see for themselves what had taken place. You know, they could have said, hey, let's build a building here and we will sing songs about the angels coming and the glory of God that's shown all around about us. And we will tell people all about their message. But that isn't what they did, is it? They had to leave these sheep. Until this point in time, they understood their life to be about taking care of these sheep. A watching over them and protecting them. A job of such significance that Jesus himself described himself as being the good shepherd. But even though they were doing something good, something important, something significant, they needed to leave what they were doing. They needed to go from where they were physically, as well as mentally and spiritually, to see this thing that the angels had announced. One of the things that's really true, and perhaps even more true than we realize, is that it is those of us who are at church every Sunday that often we are the ones that need to be told to go. Because we get used to thinking we understand, that we comprehend, that we understand that God's not going to do anything more to surprise us. All we need to do is to keep doing what we've always done. But I think especially to those of us who've been at this for a little while, sometimes we need a fresh message and encouragement that, you know what, we need to go. We need to, you know, God's message isn't to keep doing what you've always been doing, but to experience this good news of great joy, which shall be for all people, and then to be part of sharing that good news, of living it, of bringing it, revealing it, fanning that little spark of joy in the lives and the hearts of others. Now, I can tell you on some Saturday nights as I'm staring at a blank word processor, when I had great ideas and notes from earlier in the week that now seem ridiculous and stupid, I'm not experiencing a lot of joy about Sunday morning coming up in a couple hours. And yet sometimes that's an important part of that journey, of that question, of that seeking. Sometimes of experiencing an emptiness, knowing that you are heading to something bigger than you and beyond what you can ever do for yourself. Because even in our faith, let alone in our life and in Sears catalogs, it can be so easy to become focused on what we want that we lose track of what God has given. And I'm going to say that again because that's the key to joy. If you don't want to experience joy in your life, you just keep looking for what you want and stop being open and listening and seeking for what God has done and God has given. Do I need to say that again? If you don't want to experience joy, you keep doing what you've always been doing, looking for what you've always wanted, because you will miss what God has given and what God has done. Most people think of finding and worshiping God at church, nicely dressed in a comfortable place with people we kind of like, surrounded by religious symbols and music, and that'll give me joy. No. But it could be a setting in which you can get a glimpse of it that will cause you to take a step to leave your, figuratively speaking, sheep to go see this thing that God has made known. And we're gathered here not as a lot of people that have fully encompassed and have it all under control, but we go together encouraging one another. You know, when someone gets lost, to show them the way, that when one person gets weary, there's another one that can help. With a variety of gifts that together we could go see this thing that God has made known. Because the shepherds had to leave what they were doing to discover what God had done. In Luke 2:16, just past what Carrie read, says, they left in haste. They didn't sit around and wait. They didn't come up with a to-do list. They didn't put the newspaper delivery on hold. They didn't put an auto response to their email saying, hey, I'm out of town for a day or two. They dropped what they were doing and left. It's that urgent opportunity. Because deep within us, there is something that is drawing us that says, I'm not satisfied with what I have. Yeah, I remember the year I got that BB gun. It was a lot of fun. I didn't put my eye out. But eventually, it was left behind. And I could tell you the discoveries that, and the joy that God has given me, haven't grown old and haven't been left behind. My challenge is not to return to the past joy, but to live the present joy anticipating the joy of the future. But most of us don't have a herd of sheep to leave behind. And I'm thinking of all of you out here. There's some of you that could if you wanted to, but I don't think there's any shepherds in this room. But we all have something we need to leave behind. Sometimes it's leaving behind what we've always been doing to see this new thing that God has made known. You know, and as we gather in worship, it is a dimension of this. And we can get a taste of this joy that God offers. But the real opportunity takes place when we enter into what we think of as the rest of our life or our real lives. Because the joy that takes place in an hour of Sunday morning is great. But God's desire for you is to experience that health, that wholeness within you in all of your life. You know how it feels when you put that last piece in a jigsaw puzzle? It fits and something is made whole. That is joy. It's enjoyable to do that, but joy is when that piece fits in your life and when your life fits into God's plan. It may not be in a lot of things that feel real joyous, but as you step into and you fit within where God has uniquely equipped and shaped you, there's that that brings a meaning that is far more than giggles and grins that we would never exchange for anything in the world. And that is the joy to which God calls us. It is the joy in which Jesus has been given to us. But we need to go, both literally as well as figuratively. We need to go to the cross. We need to go to the cross saying, it is for my sins that Jesus died. But we also need to be raised as Jesus was raised to new life. So our lives are to be raised to a new in a life that reveals Christ. In fulfillment of the greatest commandment, we need to begin to actually dare to have the faith to do and be the things and people that God calls us to do and to be. And we begin to discover this joy as we give of ourselves, as God has given to us. And that even as the angels proclaim to the shepherd good news of great joy, we are called to shine that light, share that message, and reveal that truth, even in the midst of a dark world. Amen. Amen.